fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live! Fuck it!
And we are live. Welcome to Metallicast Live. I try to do these about once a month. And the cool thing about doing these live streams is that I get to take it in a little bit different of direction than perhaps a normal podcast. So if you're not familiar with Metallicast, it is a Metallica podcast, one of the many. I like to call it the Metallica podcast. I'm sure some people would disagree, but you know, I got to have a little bit of an ego about it. So, but the live streams, you know, I did one last month. We took a look at some of our favorite metal Halloween movies for Halloween. And, you know, we like to do some funky things here or there. So this one might not be purely about Metallica, but it's going to be one hell of a conversation about music, I think, because my guest is none other than T-Bone Mathley from T-Bone Prime Cuts. T-Bone, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks. I see some people are starting to tune in, which is awesome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Please join the chat if you want to grab a drink. I got three next to me. One's water. One, for the record, one is water. I'm going to take a sip on a little blackened, cheap plug for the Metallica whiskey that they do not pay me money for.
Right. Pay him.
Which is a little bit of Diet Coke. So I like to consider this a happy hour. If you do not want to drink, if you're not a drinker, so maybe it's the morning where you are. Maybe you're not a raging alcoholic. It is nighttime though where I am. So T-Bone, how are you, bud?
Good. You're good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks. I'm really excited to speak to you. So we've had some conversation on Twitter and whatnot with each other, but this is our first time actually speaking face to face.
Right.
Which is super exciting to, you know, we'll be able to get in more than 240 characters now. Right. So. Hey, Richard, and hey, Anne-Marie, welcome to the show. Please join the chat. I want you to be part of the show, especially once we get into the conversation. If you have questions or comments to add on or whatever, this is going to be, like I said, I think a great conversation about music. T-Bone, you've had a lengthy career as a very diverse career as a musician, and you've worked for various bands. You were a radio DJ for many years.
Yeah.
I'd be fascinated to go into your background but maybe we sort of start at the beginning, like how your interest and love of music began and how that led to you wanting to play music and launched all that.
Sure. Well, I didn't start as young as most people do, because I didn't even really start listening to rock music till I was about 17.
Oh, wow. So,
because, you know, I was raised in a household, you know, that wasn't really accepted. And I guess in the fall of the my senior year of high school, started listening to stuff. And because I was from Metro Detroit, Bob Seger and people like that were huge to me. And then I got into metal stuff.
Yeah. And,
after a couple of years, I was about 20 or almost 21 when I started playing guitar. And the first 6-7 years I played, we played nothing but metal.
Oh, and, awesome.
There was Dokken and Sabbath and Ozzy, and we even, you know, we even covered some Metallica.
Yeah.
And, you know, just all that kind of stuff and played around. Or in the early 90s, well, Metallica made it through that, but a lot of those bands didn't.
Sure. Yeah.
When grunge hit. And so at that point, we started getting into blues or blues rock or, you know, that kind of thing, or whatever was available.
Right.
You know, we play or whatever we could, whatever was available to us as far as gigging musicians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then later on, I got into funk and R&B and all that kind of stuff. But you know, it's metal's always been my first love, really.
Awesome. So do you remember any of the Metallica songs that you guys dug out? Any specific ones that you would pull out?
We played... I knew this was going to happen. it's on the first record.
I'm not answering. I'm going to make you suffer through this, Deepa.
it wasn't Hit the Lights. It was
Four Horsemen.
No,
I'll go through the track list. Motor Breath.
No.
Jump in the Fire.
No.
Seek and Destroy.
Yes. Yeah, we played that one a lot, and then the first time I saw them was in 1986 when they opened for Ozzy.
Oh, awesome!
And before that, I hadn't heard them, and it was right before the Master of Puppets album came out. So when I went to get an album, because I didn't know them, Ride the Lightning is what I got, and I really liked that album.
Yeah, that's my personal favorite album.
Mine too.
Yeah,
and that whole thing, it was just amazing.
Yeah,
and For Whom the Bell Tolls, oh my God, you know, especially at that age, that song killed me.
Yeah. That so many, I mean, they had such a, I'm a Metallica nerd. Obviously, I host a Metallica podcast. I can get into all the albums, but when you look at those first, I would say five records, what a creative output that was for the band in such a young age. When you look at Ride the Lightning and Master Puppets, especially the quality of stuff they were putting out at, you know, in their early 20s, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then I went to Yngwie Malmsteen's show, and Cliff had died the night before, and they dedicated a song to him. And, and that was all pre-internet, so we didn't know until it was Jeff Scott Soto was singing then.
Yeah,
and he brought it up during the show, and you know, we couldn't believe it.
Wow, yeah, what a devastating blow. But such a legacy. I mean, it speaks volumes about him that he did three albums with the band. And, you know, he was not even there for the big years, so to speak, with the Black Album and everything. But everybody knows Cliff Burton. Everybody knows his bass lines, his solos, his legacy, the look, everything about him is just... It's more than it has transcended, you know, underground metal, thrash metal, and just metal in general. I think has Metallica.
Yeah, yeah. They're a band they've changed a little bit with the times, but they stay true to themselves and they plowed right through when other bands have had downtime. They've always gone right through.
Yeah. They just seem to kind of change at the right time.
Yeah.
If they had done a thrash metal album after Injustice for All, we would have had a very different, very different history. And, I think the same thing too, you know, Load, Reload has its haters, but if they had done another Black Album or gone right back to thrash metal in the mid-90s, it would have been a completely different story. And but now they've been able, but what I really appreciate about their career now is that they've sort of in many ways come full circle. And you know, Hardwired to Self-Destruct, I'm not sure if you've had a chance to check out a lot of their most recent work, but it really like kind of does everything that it showcases everything that they do well as a band, you know.
Yeah.
And it borrows from, you know, the 90s a little bit with the melody and the groove but it captures the overall attitude and essence of the band that they really laid the foundation for on those first four or five records.
Yeah, I agree.
I got to ask, how was it seeing them on the Ozzy tour?
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, I personally hadn't heard Master Puppets when I saw them.
Right.
So there was, I think it was in early April of 86.
Yeah.
And and Ozzy was good, and really I remember Jakey Lee more than I remember Ozzy.
Yeah.
But he was always under such control when he played. But Metallica just knocked me out. And then I saw them again a couple of years later on the Monsters of Rock tour with Jason. But, you know, right. They played so early in the day. It was like, you know, 2 o'clock when they played, or, you know. And you could kind of tell that they were into it, but they were, you know, it's going on that early and with all the stuff that they did.
Yeah.
You know, back then, that had to be tough for them.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I got to just make a few quick announcements before we continue, Terry.
Sure.
One, if you're watching, please join the chat, ask questions, leave comments. I want to interact with all you guys watching. Two, if you're listening to this on the podcast, you're going to notice a change in audio quality because at the beginning I forgot to press record on my Zoom recorder. So I am a podcast professional. So, you know, these things happen. And three, if you want to grab a tasty beverage, join us for the Deep Dive Happy Hour. You might be wondering why this is called the Deep Dive Happy Hour. And you, Deepan, you've sort of become the chairman of the board for what has become known as the Deep Dive Podcast Network, with so many great shows: Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Skynyrd Reconsidered, who the Simple Man was supposed to join us tonight, but he had a last minute personal right. matter come up. So we'll definitely do a rain check with him. But I'm not even sure how I'm familiar with the shows. I'm not even sure how this whole Deep Dive Podcast Network came to be. Can you explain how, like, all these shows kind of came together and you became the boss man, so to speak?
Well, that's kind of funny. The whole chairman title was actually a Frank Sinatra reference.
Mm.
So it's more that than
right. Yeah.
But it was started by Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Deep Purple sure. Podcast, and Skynyrd Reconsidered. And it was so three for a long time. And then I had them on my radio show.
Oh, nice.
And we dedicated a couple hours to those three bands. They talked about their podcasts, and then I let them pick the songs they played.
Awesome.
And they picked some really great songs. They didn't pick, you know, Paranoid and stuff like that. They picked...
Wasn't Paranoid and Freebird for hours.
Yeah, no, but they picked true deep dive songs.
Yeah.
You know, and I had always been in my radio show, had always been a freeform radio show. So I played whatever, and I took great pride in playing stuff that maybe you hadn't heard, or at least, you know, it was not what you hear all the time, you know,
right.
like on classic rock and stuff like that. So.
Right.
And so I had them on, and they did great, and they kind of adopted me in. And I mean, I've been in. I wasn't even going to do a podcast, and I've got one coming out now. But that's so I was kind of lucky that I was already getting it.
And it keeps growing. I swear. I was joking. Couple weeks ago, or it was more than a couple weeks ago, I guess, now like a month or two ago, you guys added in the Queen podcast, and I was like, we were trying to schedule the goal was
right.
to get everybody involved, which was impossible because there's too many shows.
Right.
I was like, can you guys stop adding podcasts? Can we get through a freaking live stream before? And I think you've just recently added another one, maybe, or
yeah. The Uriah Heep podcast.
Yeah, which is endorsed by the band, which is so freaking cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
That is really cool. So I'm really excited to hear your podcast. I know that you have the trailer for it out now, episodes to follow. Where can everybody, we'll plug it again at the end too, but where can everybody find the upcoming podcast from you?
Well, if you just go to tbpcpodcast.com, it'll forward you to the anchor site. I haven't
Awesome.
Site yet. But yeah. That's the easiest way to get there, tbpcpodcast.com.
Awesome. And you already mentioned the radio show. You have all these many years of experience doing radio. Where was your radio show? Where could people find it in here?
It was in Indianapolis, but they had a strong internet presence. So
yeah.
People all around the globe got to hear. I had people, in I think 8 or 9 countries. And yeah. I sold, back in the day, I sold shirts and 3 or 4 countries, I had to ship shirts to them and they got them.
That's awesome. But, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was. I had a listenership here in Indianapolis, but it was much bigger, around the country. I had a lot of listeners on the West Coast.
That's great.
Go ahead.
That's great. Yeah, I'm interested to hear from you, like the art of radio, because. In radio is like your show sounds to me like an amazing old school style radio show where you got to choose a lot of if not all the music that was being played, and which is amazing. And that's not really commonplace in radio these days. Talk to me a little bit about how you got. Sort of was it just the station that you were at that encouraged that? Was it the your show specifically or?
Well, I, kind of funny story, but I had no experience in radio, at all. And the guy that had a bluegrass show, which was actually the one of their biggest shows, had me come on. And talk about charities for dogs because he knew I was a big dog owner.
Yeah.
And we really hit it off. And he was also the host of Redbud Radio, which was an Americana show.
Right.
And so he said, well, how about I give you a 5-song segment on there? And that's how I came up with the T-Bones Prime Cuts.
Awesome. Yeah.
And every week I did a segment on there and then we spun it off to its own show. And once I got my own show, I wanted it to be like old school freeform FM, where you could hear Black Sabbath followed by George Jones, followed by Find the Family Stone. When you could hear all that on the same station. Right. And that's how it became. So I always, unless I was doing a tribute show or something like that when somebody had passed, I would always try to get, maybe 5 different styles of music in the same show, sometimes even more.
Right. That's great. I mean, most radio these days is just so watered down. You pretty much every station is the same. Every station's owned by, one of 2 companies. And you don't get that kind of freedom usually if you're a radio DJ.
Right.
And it takes some of the art out of it, and you're not able to really, I feel like you're not really able to develop your personality as a on-air person. You're not able to really, have that freedom. And what's funny is that the old school radio shows, I feel like we're able to do that more because when you looked at top 40, even if they were top 40 radio station, top 40 was all over the place.
All over the band.
Even as late as, the 1990s, you would have, Michael Jackson, but you would also have Nirvana and you would have, hip hop and a great variety of artists. And now I feel like it's pretty much I know that there are exceptions, but pretty much it's kind of just very hip hop oriented or, country oriented and modern day versions of those genres of music are so can blend in with the production and the tones that are used. And like I know I started the car the other week and my wife had left on a country radio station, and I'm not knocking country. I like some country, especially old school country. Johnny Cash, one of my all-time favorite but I start the car, the country station comes on, and I hear the most god awful. I don't know what it was. I couldn't tell you what the song was, who the artist was, but it's the most god awful song I've ever heard. It's littered in auto-tune. There was kind of like it was like an almost like semi rap, but it's like covered in like Southern twang. And I'm just like, what is this atrocity that I am listening to? And it's like a weird, it's like country meets pop meets hip hop. And I'm just like,
this is
like top 40 music now.
Yeah.
And I'm all for genres of music mixing together. And I don't think anybody needs to stay in a box, but I mean, it's just so produced. And I know I'm sounding like an old man now, but it just drives me nuts.
I grew up on country, and I basically end up with, there are exceptions. There are good people, really good ones out there now.
Sure.
I basically have a rule that I don't really care for anything after about 88. and even in the 80s, it was getting twisted a lot.
Yeah.
I mainly like stuff from the 60s and 70s, but there's a lot of stuff out there I like now too, but, well, not a lot of stuff, but some stuff, you know.
Just to go to the chat, Blake Brogdon saying, country music now is pop music with cowboy boots and Southern lyrics.
Yeah.
Richard, Richard, my frequent guest of Metallica. What's the name of my show? Metallicast? That black is already going to my mouth. probably something by Sam Hunt. Haha. I don't know who Sam Hunt is, but I know Richard knows who that is. So I will take your word for it. Richard is a music journalist. He's done a bunch of stuff for Enemy and everything. And he's well-versed in metal, pop music, everything. Oh, yeah. So he's like my go-to person to educate me on such matters. Mike says, was it the new Chase Hastings pop country hit? I just made that name up, but it sounds good, and I bet that, I'm close.
That totally sounds like somebody that would be playing.
Thank you to everybody for tuning in, by the way. I'm here with my guest, T-Bone Mathley, and we're talking a little bit about his background in radio and music, and we got a lot of good conversation coming up. So please leave comments and stuff in the chat, questions or what have you. Just interact with us. If you're drinking, cheers to you. I'm trying not to drink too much so I don't get too tongue-tied. My camera's weird, T-Bone. It's like, it's...
Yeah, I know.
It's an opposite. Like, it's like the mirror image. So, and I'm a little bit cut off, so I feel like I'm cheering. And, you know, it's just... it just doesn't really work out for me. Your radio show is free form in a lot of ways. You get to choose the playlist and all that stuff, which is awesome. So what can we expect from the upcoming podcast? Is it going to be music-based, interview-based, combination?
It's going to be interviews. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to interview artists. I'm going to interview the authors that write about them. What makes them great. I'm going to have an author on, that you had on this, if you want to go, Mark Eglinton.
Oh yeah, Mark's great. Mark's fantastic. Yeah.
And I really enjoyed your interview, but we're going to, since you covered the Metallica thing more, we're going to talk more, well, I hope more about the Judas Priest thing, because I love that book.
Yeah, the K.K. Downing book.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I've got the Metallica book, too. I've got to read it, but I've got it.
Yeah, the Metallica book is really good. It goes into a lot of, introduces a lot of characters from the early years of the band that knew them personally, who I've been lucky enough to have on the podcast recently. Oh, yeah. John Kernarens and Eric Braverman. And
that's the most current one.
Yeah, it is the craziest interview I think I've ever done. It's extremely entertaining. It's extremely informative. It is crazy. It is insane. It is 2 hours of him telling like firsthand stories about the band that some of which I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm not supposed to know this. Does he know he's and does he know he's being recorded?
Right.
And then there's other times where he's just like starts talking about the killer turtle that he has in his living room. And I'm just like, it was very entertaining. If you've not heard the Eric Braverman interview, please check it out. It is, especially if you're a Metallica fan, it's a 2-hour deep dive into Metallica and pure chaos. But I've been lucky enough to kind of have them on and fill in the blanks and everything. So I'm interested to hear, because you said that, you know, your primary interests in music are 60s, 70s. Let's get into some of the stuff that really makes us tick. Like, what are some of your all-time favorite bands and albums? And
well, probably, if not my top favorite, one of my top favorite would be Black Sabbath. And I'm a little different than most people in that I prefer them with Dio over Ozzy. But I like it all.
Yeah.
I like it all. You know, I never got to see him with Ozzy. I saw him with Dio a couple times. I saw him with Glenn Hughes once. I had tickets to go see him when Tony Martin was in the band, but they got canceled.
Yeah.
But I also, that was just country. I was talking about 60s, 70s. I'm big into...
Oh, gotcha.
I'm big into 80s, 70s,
80s. Yeah.
I was lucky enough, I should point out too, that I was on public radio. So
right.
If I'd been on a regular radio station, you know, or like a Clearcast or something, then I wouldn't have been able to play what I wanted. But I was lucky enough to be on public radio, and they said just, you know, as long as there wasn't a lot of swearing, just go ahead and play what you want.
So you weren't playing too much So What, the Metallica cover.
Right. I'd spent a year in internet radio, and you could play whatever you want on there. But when I was on, you know, the 10 or 11 years I was on the radio station in Indianapolis, they had to actually censor stuff out.
Yeah.
That was kind of a pain. But, you know, sometimes I would put, you know, a funny sound in there, some horn honking or something.
Just to catch up with the chat here, Ralph Sabeto saying, and Ralph, buddy, love you.
Love Ralph.
Yeah, he's a huge supporter of all the podcasts. Says, I was forced to listen to country while I got an MRI. It's all girl jump my pickup so I can knock you up. Basically, Rayhawk 123, hey, it's Sam, first timer, having a drink. Cheers, looking good, Terry. Anne Marie saying, humble pie.
That's how we became friends. We connected over our love of Humble Pie and Peter Frampton stuff.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Rayhawk adds on, sitting here with Sam, having a drink and watching the show. Both of you are doing a great job. Thank you. I think everybody should be complimenting us, T-Bone. Everybody should leave us a nice compliment, boost my ego.
Yeah, come on.
You feel free to comment on not only my superb podcast skills and interview skills, so much so that I forgot to hit record at the start. But not only should everybody compliment me on that, but maybe my smile, how good I'm looking tonight, this awesome Metallicast t-shirt.
Oh yeah.
I pulled out the finest attire just for you, T-Bone.
Well, you know, you're getting big enough where you should have somebody to edit the show. You shouldn't have to do all this yourself.
Hello, do I have any applications in the comments? I will start the job interviews as soon as we're done recording, and I'm done with this whiskey.
There's no pay involved, but there's a lot of the experience, you know.
Yeah, it's all about experience and having me as your boss. And who doesn't want me as your boss?
That's right.
Yeah. Cheers from Alcoholica Poland. Hey, cheers, buddy. All the way from Poland. Thanks for tuning in, buddy. That's the beauty of the internet and like your radio show, right? We can reach people from all around the world.
Yeah.
It's always so interesting when I see like Anchor breaks down.
Oh yeah.
Like the countries and stuff. I'm like, oh
yeah,
you're listening to me there. Then you see like where your podcast charts, like on Apple and stuff. I'm like, I've never even heard of that country. Or it's like, oh, you're listening to me here. Like, My crowning achievement was I was the number one music podcast on Apple Podcasts in Costa Rica for like a day. And I was like, all right, Costa Rica, I'll come give you some of my money when it's safe to travel.
Right.
So your favorite Black Sabbath album You said you preferred the Dio years, so this should be interesting.
And there again, I'm different. A lot of people like Heaven and Hell, but I like Mob Rules better.
Oh, interesting.
And I like them both, but
yeah,
Mob Rules, and you know, I love the drumming on the first record. You know, that was I forgot his name now. You know, the Black Sabbath drummer.
During the Dio years.
No, it was
Bill Ward. Yeah,
he's on that first record, and then he left. You know, he toured some, and he left, and Vinny took over. There's just something about, and I love Ward's drumming, and that swing he's got.
Yeah.
But it, you know, mixed in with the Dio sound and everything, it's just, there's just something about that mixture. Totally. I got to see them on the Dehumanizer tour, and they were just amazing.
Yeah, they did a brilliant thing, which was they changed their sound while still sounding like Black Sabbath. You know, like they knew that what worked with Ozzy was not going to work with Dio. And Dio had, and listen, this is not a knock against Ozzy Osbourne. He's a legend. I love him.
Oh, yeah.
But Dio could simply do more with his voice. He has a more powerful voice. He's technically a better singer. It was a very smart move. And I have to view them as two separate bands in my head.
Yeah.
You know, even though the albums say Black Sabbath, and I guess later on they became, you know, Heaven and Hell. But I almost have to view them that way, like as two separate bands, like Sabbath and Heaven and Hell, because it's hard for me to, when I hear the name Black Sabbath, I go to the Ozzy years, you know, and for me, my favorite Sabbath record is Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I just think they did with each album, they progressed a little bit more. And then Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, it just all came together with experimentation, branching out their sounds, but still sounding heavy and dark and Sabbath. And they just made it all work beautifully on that record.
Yeah, and one of the first ones I got of theirs was Sabotage album. And
yeah,
that's amazing too.
Yeah, I feel like Sabotage is an album that I feel like gets more love now.
Yeah,
than it did back then, and did even like 10 years ago.
Yeah,
I feel like that for me, that was an album that I always really enjoyed that I feel like kind of got lost in the shuffle. It's kind of like because everybody always talks about like the first five Sabbath records, I feel like. And then you have Sabotage kind of thrown in there. And then the two last records are a mixed bag. Even though I really like Technical Ecstasy.
Yeah.
I really like that record. I think that's a very underrated record. But it's very, again, it's not really, it goes in some different directions or whatever. And they were obviously trying to.
A lot of experimentation going on there.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it works actually, but it definitely, they're definitely, you know, starting to change with the times a little bit. And then I feel like, you know, Never Say Die is not a bad record. It's just, it just doesn't work as well. But for me, Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath always worked. And I think Sabotage kind of got lost in the shuffle because it was like after those first, like, prime essential records for a lot of people, it's stuck in the middle of the last two, and it was just sort of there for a number of years, but I hear it getting so much love these days, which is awesome because it's a phenomenal record.
Yeah, I say on a lot of favorites lists in the last couple of years. But you were asking about the podcast, and I just throw this out there that the podcast, much like the radio show, will be freefall. So I'll interview people from all different kinds of music. You know, it won't be just one. I mean, there might be a couple or three metal type interviews in a row, but overall, I'm gonna try to cover everything.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic. And I love good interviews. You know, it doesn't, if you have a good interview with somebody, I don't even, obviously it helps if I'm into the person and what they're doing, but that I don't necessarily need to be. Like I've heard great interviews on podcasts and I get wrapped into just because I'm like, oh, like I never, it allows you to explore something different,
right,
or allows you to just get insight into, and I've walked away so many times from good interviews where I'm like, not my thing, but I appreciate it so much more hearing them give that insight, you know?
Right. Yeah. I can't count how many times I've been surprised by, you know, somebody's interview that I didn't think that I would be interested at all. I said, well, I'll give it a start. I'll listen a little bit, and then I find myself listening to the whole thing. So,
yeah. Ralph Silvetto saying, Sarah did a study abroad. Sarah's his wife, who's also awesome. Abroad in Costa Rica. Pura Vida. Tico's love Metallicast. Apparently. Yeah. I did go to Costa Rica before, like a number of years ago, and it was it is a beautiful country. And now that I'm a megastar there, I got to go back and cash in.
Oh, of course. Yeah. You got to do your show from there or something.
Anne Marie has a question. T-Bone, is there a current guitarist with metal influences that you really like? Anne Marie putting you on the spot. That wasn't me. That wasn't my question. But she's putting you on the spot. She's asking the hard-hitting questions here. She's going to host this soon.
Yeah. She'll be asking questions.
Do you want to circle back? Have a thought?
Yeah, let me think about that for a second because, you know.
All right, we'll circle back. I'm interested, while you're thinking about that, hearing about... So, she's laughing at you. I'm interested. So you mentioned some of your favorite country artists from the 60s, 70s. Who are some of your favorites?
Well, Merle Haggard, Johnny Cash, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't like everything he did, but I was moved by the Glen Campbell stuff. Because I did a tribute to him when he passed, and I was reading his bio on the air live, and I didn't realize that he was born the same year as my dad, who died 29 years ago. And my dad introduced me to his music, and it was just like a perfect storm and just got me right. And I just lost on the air. I don't normally do that.
Yeah.
But in the 80s, like Ricky Skaggs, I respect the bluegrass stuff he does, and I appreciate some of it, but I shouldn't say it. I appreciate it all. I like some of it, but when he was into country stuff, like when I was in high school, when he had the Highways and Heartaches record and stuff like that.
Yeah. I love Johnny Cash, one of my all-time favorites. I mean, you really cannot go wrong when you go back to the original Outlaws in general, Waylon and Willie and all those guys. But the something about Johnny's just to me, he's just on another level. I think it comes down to the voice.
And you know what? And something about him is that he lived those songs too.
He
lived it. He lived that lifestyle. And he didn't just sing it, he lived it. And it just, you just hear him and you just believe it.
Totally. I was having a conversation with somebody on a podcast episode. I forget who. Might have been Richard S. He, actually, who was in the comments before. But either way, I was saying, I came to this realization when I was talking to him. Like, I like a lot of, obviously metal is my first love. I love rock music. But I have a handful of other artists that are, I consider, all-time favorites that are completely outside that genre of music. And I was like, what connects all these dots? And I'm like, because they're like these almost mythical creatures. And like James Hetfield to me is like a mythical creature. Yeah. You know, he's on stage, mic, guitar. He's super powerful, super aggressive. But he has offstage, he's kind of comes across as the opposite, and he's the older he gets, the more private he gets in a lot of ways, and he's kind of doing his own. So he just seems kind of like an unreachable, mythical person. And I'm thinking of other artists that I really like. I'm like Nick Cave, Tom Waits, and Johnny Cash. They're all kind of the same. They're like they're these mythical, unreachable characters.
Yeah.
And performers, you know, and Johnny Cash and especially with Nick Cave and Tom Waits just have these characters in their songs that you're like, I feel like you know that person. I feel like I know that person. I feel like it, but they're not, you're like, but where do these people come from? You know, they're like the underbelly almost. And they just really make them come alive. And, but I think that's why Johnny Cash always stood out to me. Besides the voice, he was just like this mythical creature on stage of, and he just, you know, would do the simplest, smallest things and have everybody in the palm of his hand.
Right. You know, and speaking of Tom Waits, that guy would sing a song and then you either knew somebody like that or that guy say, I'm pretty sure that guy stays right around the corner from me, you know. You're always, no matter how weird it was, it seemed like you knew somebody like that.
Yeah, you know, totally.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Or worst case scenario, you're like, wait, I think he's singing about me. Richard's back in the chat. He's asking, any modern country acts either of you like? I'm a big Sturgill Simpson fan. I mean, I'll be the first to admit I'm not too up onto too many modern country acts. I'm sure if I really dug in, I would find somebody that I'm into. I guess the most modern country act I'm into, and he's been around for a while, is Hank 3, because has that really aggressive outlaw attitude, and he definitely bridges like the metal punk hardcore world with some of his albums, but he also just does like straight up old school country.
He sounds like his grandfather.
Without a doubt, he sounds like his grandfather, just with a few more f-bombs here and there, and a lot more I think even drinking and drugging than he did back in the day. What about you, T-Bone?
Well, I like Sturgill a lot. I like there's a guy that you may not know.
Yeah,
and I'm going to have him on my show later, and he's been on Skinner Reconsidered too.
Nice.
Zephaniah O'Hara, and he's got two records out, and I mean he's a modern artist, but he really walks that line between like, you know, Merle Haggard influence and it's just really old. It sounds to me like old school country, and it's so good.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'll have to check that out.
And he just put a record out maybe a month and a half ago. It's really good.
Yeah. Ralph says, I like Mama Said. Does that count the country or song upload? Yeah, sure. I'll count it.
Yeah.
Emery's saying, Emery's saying Chris Stapleton is awesome.
Oh, yeah. I really like him, too.
Ray Hawk's asking, what are your thoughts on Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine?
You know, that's a guy, they became big, you know, and I was playing a lot at the time, and I was like, I don't get it. I don't. And then later on, I listened again with fresh ears, and the Rage stuff just blows me away. Yeah. And I mean, he's a guy that is, if he wanted to be, he could be, you know, one of the best guitarists out there, but he's always playing something kind of, you know, something kind of weird or something that fits a song. I mean, he's more concerned. That's the guy that's more concerned with the song than he is with being a guitar hero.
Sure.
And he could be because I've heard him play some, some stuff and it's amazing. And like he even, you know, toured with Springsteen for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, he's something else.
I cannot think of another guitarist that plays the way he plays with, you know, when you look at Rage Against the Machine, the fact that there were no turntables in that band, and he was able to
do all
those effects through the guitar, I think is just astonishing. I think that's amazing. And to your point, talk about a guy who just would like all about groove and just, you know, laying down what was best for the song. You never see him feel like he's trying to show off. Right. But when you hear him play different things and including things sort of outside his box, so to speak, you're like, oh wow. He can shred. He can, he's very well versed with folk stuff and he's just a very varied intelligent guy, Harvard graduate.
Yeah.
I mean, is very, just very talented guy. I think I have the utmost respect for Tamara. I think he's probably one of the finest guitarists to come out in the last, 20, 30 years.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. And I saw him on some kind of Randy Rhoads tribute thing. And
yeah,
that guy can really play, really play.
Yeah. Dodgeman325 is putting in the chat, power up T-Bone, obviously a reference to the new AC/DC record. So yeah. When I read that comment, I was thinking of a question. I feel like we've been so lucky the last year, 2 years, 3 years of sort of these veteran bands and artists having like these later career renaissance, right? Oh, yeah. And coming out with these albums where you're just like, everything is working. Everything is just clicking. The songs are good. The band's playing great. They sound great. And I'm interested to hear some of your recent favorites from some veteran artists.
That one right there, I like probably better than any of them.
Yeah.
It's very rare. I mean, like, we put our favorite Brian Johnson era albums, you know, we'd listen them. And the fact that that gets right up there with Back in Black, and that was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's that good. I mean, that says a lot about the band.
Yeah.
The recent Deep Purple album was really good. The recent Kansas album was good. I got them both. I got them the same day, 2 or 3 months ago. And those were both really good. I mean, all the way through. And then there's an album out now. Well, it's only on streaming right now, or downloadable. They don't have physical product. But it's Robin Trower, who was my first radio interview. Awesome. And one of my heroes. It's him and Maxic Priest on vocals, and then Livingston Brown on bass. And it's not at all what you'd expect, but it's so good. I listened to it, I think, 3 times all the way through the first night I heard it. Yeah. And I never did. Usually, you know, and you might skip over songs too, but all the way through 3 times, it was so good.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And it just came out like in the last month or two.
Right. I'll have to check that out. And the new Deep Purple and Kansas albums you said were really good. I had no clue they even had new albums out. So
yeah. Yeah, they just put them out like 2 or 3 months ago.
It's funny because some of those established acts kind of get, you know, unless if you're an AC/DC, they can easily get lost in the shuffle of 2020, you know, especially when you don't go to record stores anymore, a lot of us, and, you know, and they're just sort of thrown out there. The new Bruce Springsteen album is also really good.
Oh, really good.
Really good. I've enjoyed his last few records. I know some people have sort of approached him with a mixed bag, and I'm far from like the biggest Bruce Springsteen fan, but I really enjoy him at the same time. Yeah. But the new record is phenomenal. I keep going back to it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good one too. Yeah. I should have thought of that. That's one where I'll be honest with you. I was a big Springsteen fan for maybe 6 months in 1984. And Born in USA was out there. And then for some reason I bought all the records up to Tunnel of Love.
Yeah.
And I just kind of lost it with them. And then it's fine that you mentioned it because it's this new record that I've listened to. And I mean, I heard him all along, you know, because of what I do. But this new record is so good. And it's brought me back in the fold again, so to speak.
Yeah. I think it's sort of, you know, it's great because he's not reinventing the wheel. He's not doing anything different. He just captures sort of different moments throughout his career.
Yeah.
And is able to take those sounds and put them into good songs. It's as simple as that, you know? But it is a really good album. I highly recommend it to anybody who has even a passing interest in Bruce Springsteen. It's probably his best one in years.
Yeah. And that's the thing. If you just have a passing interest, like basically what I did.
Yeah.
And you listen to that, then you'll go back and listen to all the stuff again.
Yeah. From the metal side too, Armored Saint's new album
is
phenomenal.
And that was a great podcast you did with John Bush.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my God. That got me back to listening to them again. I hadn't listened to them since probably 87, 88.
Yeah.
You know, and back in that time I listened and Raising Fear was big to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Very big. And you know, and that record, I played it all the time. And I don't know, you know, I got into something else at the time, or we were out, something happened, and I kind of lost track of them. But then I saw the trailer for that documentary that's going to come out on them. And then I listened to your podcast, and I was like overwhelmed by how much I like that band.
Yeah, it's funny because I always wanted to speak to John Bush I like Joey Belladonna, but he's my favorite Anthrax singer. Yeah. I love that era of John Bush album. Sound of White Noise, I think, is the best Anthrax album. I've always really appreciated what Armored Saint did. I was never honestly like even a big Armored Saint fan. I liked it. I appreciated it. I knew some of it, was unfamiliar with some of it, but really loved the Anthrax stuff. And then I saw Armored Saint was coming out with a new album. I listened to the first song. I was like, holy crap, this is really good.
Really good.
And then they came out with the second song. And I'm like, holy crap, this is really good too.
Yeah.
And so then I interviewed him. The interview was phenomenal. First of all, I call him and I just hear like this music blasting. And then it cuts off. He's like, oh, hey, sorry, I was rehearsing. I was like, and part of me wanted to be like, you can just keep on keeping on. You know, I'll just. But I had the opportunity to hear the album like probably a couple weeks before it actually came out. So I could, and I just took it all in. And from start to finish, it's just a solid record. Like, I'm like, all right, there's two good songs. I know that. It's got to drop off somewhere, but now it's just boom, 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 one song after another. That's a really good one. And I had another one of mine too, but it's escaping me now. Another album from a veteran band. But there's been a lot, I think, in the last few years, which is great to see, especially since, you know, touring's not a thing and concerts are not a thing right now. It'd be a real bummer if a band that you like came out with a shitty album and you can't even see them live to hear the old stuff, you know?
Right.
But
there's been a lot of bands, like you say, they're old, you know, older established bands, and they'll put out a record and you're like, you know, a couple of songs kind of remind me of what they did and stuff, but you know, these three or four that we've mentioned, or five or whatever, They really, I mean, in that, like an Armored Saint, that, I mean, it's up to date and sounds modern, but they're rocking as hard as they did in the 80s. I mean, it's really, really something.
Yeah.
Then that AC/DC record, oh my God.
Yeah.
The first AC/DC record I bought was Flick of the Switch. So that one's always been, you know, important to me. And so I still like Back in Black the best of the Brian Johnson records, but Flick of the Switch and right now Power Up, which will probably pass it, are tied right behind that.
Wow. And what a phenomenal comeback story too,
because
this band was over basically, you know, Brian Johnson was never going to be able to sing again. And, we had the passing of Malcolm and then all the legal stuff with Rudd and all that weird stuff that was going on with him, and you're just like, oh, this band after all these decades just like that is gone. Right. And it's funny because I saw Guns N' Roses reunited. I saw them at Coachella. Coachella's, by the way, horrible. It's like all the, there's so many good artists there. The lineup is amazing. Like, no matter what you like, you'll find something that you like there. The people there are horrible people. But I went because my wife, her job at the time, she had to go for work, and I was like, oh, you need to go to Coachella for work? I think you need to get an extra ticket because Guns N' Roses are reuniting. So I flew out there, met her, saw the show. Phenomenal. But that was the day. I bring that point because that was the day. Well, one, just to go back to GNR for a moment, everybody's like, is Axl Rose even here? Is anybody even going to show up? And then they're not only there, they're on stage on time.
On time,
yeah. And then I'm just like, all right, the shit's going to hit the fan. They're going to do like two songs. Something's going to... And they just played... But they played for like 2.5 hours. It was phenomenal. And because of the time difference and where my flight was, I was up for like 24 hours. And I was just like delirious at the end. I'm like, I want you to stop playing so I can go to bed, but this is too good. Please don't ever stop. You know, it's all those mixed feelings. But I bring it up because that was the day, or like the day after or whatever, that it was announced that Axl Rose was going on tour with AC/DC.
Right, right.
So then Angus Young came out at Coachella, which was awesome, and well, they did a couple AC/DC songs. You know, so that was really cool to see.
I remember seeing that video.
And it was phenomenal. And I'm like, that's going to be such a fun show to see. Yeah. Like Axl with AC/DC. But it's not AC/DC.
Yeah.
You know? It's like if Angus Young was in Guns N' Roses. Yeah. That's freaking awesome. He's a great guitarist. He's a legend. But it's not Guns N' Roses.
It's not right, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know? But so I'm glad that they were able to carry on and have like their fun moment. But I'm glad that AC/DC is back, is my point. Any new albums just in general that you would recommend from new artists or, I see Ralph Savell's writing new Killer Be Killed is good too. Just came out today, an improvement over their first album. For those of you who do not know, that's like a super group of Max Cavalera from Sepultura. It's, Greg Puciato from Dillinger Escape Plan. I forget his name from Mastodon. There's a handful of really good metal guys in there. Wow. I liked their first album, but I've heard a couple songs of the new album that really step up sort of above what you'd expect from like a quote super group, you know? But I'm interested are there any new artists or new albums that have struck your fancy lately?
You know, I really think that just the ones I've mentioned all that I can think of, you know, from this past year or so.
Yeah. So T-Bone, we are nearing, Troy Sanders. Thank you. Bass and vocals. Yeah. From Mastodon.
Okay.
I gotta admit, I'm a very, very, fair weather Mastodon fan. I don't know if you are familiar you are with Mastodon, but I've heard them on album. Right. And I'm like, oh, they're a great band. I saw them live and I was like, they'd seem miserable to be there.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I've heard. Yeah.
It's always such like a disappointment. Like, why are you sad to play for me? Ray123 saying this has been a great show. Thank you, sir. Thank you everybody who has tuned in. And joined the chat. Are there any final questions before we start wrapping up here? Either for me or T-Bone, especially for T-Bone. Who wants to ask me a question? I'm just a guy. T-Bone is T-Bone Mathley.
But you're a celebrity in Costa Rica.
You said it, not me. I don't like to brag, but yes, yeah. You're right. I am. if you have any final questions, please get them in, or comments or whatever. T-Bone, it's been a lot of fun. Does Terry know his, that's a great question. We mentioned the podcast before. There's a trailer out. For those of you listening after this live stream in podcast land, cause this audio will be out as a podcast as always. There'll be a link in the episode description to at least the anchor so people can check out the trailer. Gives you a little bit of info on what to expect in the podcast and the theme song and what have you. But Anne-Marie is asking a very important question. Does Terry know his debut date for his new podcast? And another follow-up question Ralph is asking, when does Tease... Oh, same thing. I misread it. Yeah, they both want to know, when does the new podcast officially start? Do you have an actual date yet?
Well, I had hoped to start this month, and this will... I'm hoping this will be the kick I need to get me going. I've got five interviews lined up. I just haven't done them yet. So once I, you know, get two or three of them in the can, so to speak, I'll be ready to go. Hopefully in a couple of weeks or so.
Awesome. It's a perfect time to launch a podcast. I say that because my 3-year anniversary is coming up. My podcast launched like right after Christmas, 3 years ago. Wow. So, which is bonkers. I didn't think I would be doing this for 2 months. Russell Meadows saying, buzz typing is hard. Ralph, try buzz podcasting. Okay, bud. All right. Dodgman 325 saying, looking forward to a T-Bone. We all are, with all of your experience and knowledge and passion. I know it's going to be a great show, and you have great guests lined up. It sounds like Mark Englington, of course, you said was on mine, and he's a great guy, super knowledgeable. When he was on my show, we pretty much talked Metallica. He's much more than Metallica. He's written biographies for many different people, so it'll be fascinating to hear kind of the other side of what he has to say.
And what's cool about him, though, is that he's a true fan, too. Not just a
whole author. Yeah. True fan. Oh, yeah. I mean, when he was on my show, I would say maybe a quarter of the interview I was talking to him as the author of James Hetfield's book.
Right.
But, you know, the overall majority of it, we're just talking as fans.
Oh, yeah.
And
he was talking about shows he'd been to.
Yeah, he's a super nice guy. And so I already know that episode will be fantastic. I cannot wait to hear what you have in store. Thank you so much, Stephen. This was awesome.
Thank you.
And if you guys are interested in, if you're new to Metallicast and you're like, hey, that's a good looking guy. He's got the voice of an angel. And, you know, I'm not the biggest Metallica fan, but I'm a big Brandon fan. I'm Brandon, by the way. If you're new to the podcast, please check it out on fansnotexperts.com. Check it out on Anchor. Follow me on social media at MetallicaSpot on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you'd be so kind, subscribe to the podcast. Give me a download. Even better, give me a 5-star positive review on Apple Podcasts. I've received some 1-star ones, and I like those. They make me laugh. Because I feel like it takes a special person to go out of their way to leave a negative podcast review. And my favorite 1-star review, I've said this before on the air, Terry, but my favorite 1-star review was the subject was the epitome of a fanboy. Oh. And then the body was, makes me hate being a fan of Metallica.
Wow.
Thank you to that person. My question is this. If you're listening to a Metallica fan podcast,
Yeah. What
did you expect? Did you expect like me to be like the biggest Anthrax fan who's gonna like
right?
Or I like Megadeth, but you're expecting me to be like a big Megadeth fan who's gonna shit on Metallica? Like I don't get, and I don't know. But Terry, I know you're not gonna get any 1-star reviews when your podcast launches. It's gonna be all 5-star reviews. I'm gonna leave 25-star reviews just myself, and I know Anne Marie's gonna join me, and Ralph and Dodgeman and everybody else in the chat, thank you for joining us so much. But please, if you're new to Metallicast, love if you checked it out, subscribe, downloaded. I got a lot of great guests that have been recently on and have been on for the last 3 years, which is I'm just saying, repeating that to remind myself that I've been doing this now for too long and I'm still only mediocre at it.
you've really been on fire lately. The shows you've had out the last month or two are unbelievable.
I appreciate that, Terry, especially coming from you. Thank you again. And please check out The actual name of the podcast, T-Bone Prime Cuts on the other side?
T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the other side. Because my radio show used to be T-Bone's Prime right. Cuts. So I want to differentiate it from that. But, you know, but on the other side will be, you know, it's going to be more about the other person. I'll ask some questions, but it's going to be more about them and that, you know, bring them in that way.
Awesome. Perfect. I love it. And Terry, thank you again. And hopefully once the podcast is up and running, you got some episodes under your belt, you'll come back on Metallicast and we'll do this again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
All right, guys, I always sign off with my James Hetfield impression. T-Bone, can I tempt you to doing one?
I don't know. Let me hear yours.
Middle up your ass. Yeah.
No.
Bye, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Fabs Not Experts.